Before I get all up in your face, I know you got to live. You know I got mine, but there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's about that time. Saturday morning, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's Mr. FSP along. Well, I'm by myself this morning. I don't know what's up with JT. I know he's scared to talk about JT North because his abilities, if you will, I'm stealing some, one of my buddies, Mike Knox, did. He did a Dusty Road, so I'm doing pretty much the same thing. His abilities to speak on it have fallen apart. But it's okay. You know why? Because it's me, it's Mr. FSP. We got a great, 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 great show lined up for you today. As I said before, we're going to talk about the AFC North and who the two Titans in that division are. You know, who's going to come out on top at the end of the season? Now, everybody is saying, okay, well, you can count out the Browns. The Bengals will be subpar. It's make or break year for both the redhead bomber and Marvin Lewis. You know, there's a lot of what ifs and what nots. And the thing about it is, I don't think either one of them going to end up last in the AFC North. I'm quite sure JT has something to say about that. So JT, before I continue even further, welcome to the show.
What's up, man? How you doing today? It's always a great day to talk with Mr. FSP.
Thank you very much. Always good to talk to you as well. So today we're going to cover Major League Baseball invalidating 65 million All-Star ballots. Did you know about that?
Invalidating 65 million All-Star ballots. I guess some fans are stuffing the ballot box.
Pretty much, yeah. But 65 million All-Star ballots have been invalidated by MLB. We're going to hear from the chief marketing media director of the MLB as to why they did it. I'm calling it the Royal Rule. So we'll talk about it. Also, we're going to play the what if game. The what if game is this. What if Len Bias had not overdosed and played in the NBA? Because if I'm not mistaken, the following year, Michael Jordan came out in the draft and went third overall to the Chicago Bulls. So what if Len Bias and the Boston Celtics became a powerhouse again? And what if Michael Jordan was either A, drafted by the Bulls again, or B, because of Len Bias's ability to play the game, he gets picked number one and goes to Portland? What if? We'll play that game today. You know, I think it's going to be an interesting conversation between JT and I. So what I want to do is bring in everybody that wants to get on that conversation. You can always dial 347 347-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. Right here on the Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition. You can always go to spotonradios.com. Check out what's going on there, streaming 24/7, 365, and click on one of those DraftKings banners. Right now, DraftKings is going through a summer of fun. I believe it's 8 sports, $3 million up for grabs. You can always do your MMA and your baseball, stuff like that, soccer as well. As you know, basketball is not in season, but we have the NBA draft coming up, so we might talk about that a little bit as well. But a lot of things are happening in the world of sports. Mini camps just closed out. So what I want to do, because this is promoted as the AFC North show, we're going to get right into the AFC North. Is that okay with you, JT?
Yeah, I guess it is. Whatever.
What? You guess it is. Okay, so what do you want to talk about first? What do you want to talk about first then?
That's fine. I mean, you want to talk about the NFL and the schedule? Let's do it. It's your show, man. You set the agenda, and I just follow it.
As you should. Here we go.
Let's go.
You know.
Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field. Because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys are going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it gonna be, man? You gonna leave it on the field, or you gonna leave it inside? You gonna leave it or something in your tank, or you gonna do what champions do? Leave nothing.
Well, I guess some people might leave nothing on the court, on the field, or whatever. But right now, we're gonna get into some teams that have plans to dominate this year. Will it happen? I don't know. JT, first
up. Yes, sir.
Mike Pettine, second-year head coach of the Cleveland Browns, bringing in John DeFilippo as the new offensive coordinator. Now, we've seen and heard all this mess about, you know, Johnny Manziel and what's going on with him. But I think bringing in the new offensive coordinator is going to make a big difference. Along with Dwayne Bowe, yes, I said Dwayne Bowe, to change the fortunes of Cleveland. LeBron couldn't do it. I'm just saying. But a big strong point for Cleveland was their run game last year, right? So DeFilippo comes over from Oakland. He gained a reputation for being something of a young QB whisperer. This is going to be an offense centered on the run. O-line coach Andy Moyer has a solid veteran unit to execute their zone blocking scheme. They preferred Terrence West a year ago, but Isaiah Crowell outplayed West and could be in for a bigger workload on early downs, with West taking passing downs. Now, here's the big kicker, the kid from Miami. Rookie Duke Johnson is a change of pace speedster who could force his way into the rotation. Now, when we look at Cleveland and we say, well, you know what? They had Josh Gordon gone. They had what was the tight end name that's no longer there now? I can't remember his name right now. But he's gone. Kyle Shanahan.
Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, Jordan Cameron. Thank you. Jordan Cameron. Big potential guy. Fell off last year, left with free agency, is now somewhere else. But he's gone. Kyle Shanahan, who is the former offensive coordinator, departed. DeFilippo is a West Coast disciple. So Dwayne Bowe arrives as a possession receiver, while Brian Hartline will serve primarily as a deep threat. Now, Brian Hartline isn't a deep threat. I just want to let you guys know that. He is a possession receiver, in my opinion. Hartline will serve primarily as a deep threat. Tight end Rob Housler from Arizona I love this kid. Could be in for a career year in this offense, especially after watching subpar tight end Michael Rivera put up solid numbers in Oakland's offense last year. They'll most frequently use three wides and with Andrew Hawkins playing inside. West figures to take most passing downs with Johnson sprinkled in. In the red zone, a place they actually excelled at, West held on for most of the red zone snaps last season, even after Crowell outperformed him in the red zone and short yardage situations. They won't throw often down here, especially considering Josh McCown's turnover fest in Tampa last year. Housler is the closest thing they have to a red zone specialist. Now, JT, they spent, and this, I think they had a pretty good, you know, draft, but they got the 12th overall pick, Danny Shelton, out of Washington, who I think is a monster. Cameron Irving, a guard out of Florida State. Then it went linebacker, Nate Orchard, out of Utah. And that brings us to the third round, Duke Johnson, out of Miami. I love this kid, and I think he's going to be a sleeper pick towards the middle of the year. Your take on the Cleveland Browns?
Ooh, you have to pick the worst one in the division first, which is fine. I think this team, even though they may have picked up some decent pieces, is going to have a worse record than they had last year. I don't see them with the schedule and the teams they have to play and when they have to play them and where they have to play them is in trouble. And I don't know if the owner is going to be patient enough. I don't know if the general manager, Barry Farmer, could be patient enough with the coaching staff when they finally get to the end of the season and realize the amount of wins and amount of losses they have. I'm really high on this team at all. They may have some pieces that add to the puzzle, but the puzzle is definitely not complete, and they're going to have serious issues in being able to get some wins, especially with a backup. And I still say this to like I said prior year, Josh McCown is backup quarterback, plain and simple. Even Cleveland, and that's what it may look like. I think they're going to have major issues trying to generate offense and win football games.
Okay, JT, your microphone keeps going in and out. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing because you just downed the Cleveland Browns. So I'm going to let you be aware of that. But I disagree with you. I know Josh McCown is in a battle with Johnny Manziel for the starting job. Neither one, in my opinion, are NFL starting quarterbacks. However, if this team is going to rely heavily on the run and their defense, all you need is a quarterback to do is manage the game. That's all they have to do is manage the game. Josh McCown can manage the game if they call more runs than passes. I think giving him a big body like Dwayne Bowe is a great opportunity. Now, on the flip side, Johnny Manziel, he comes in, he's the quarterback. That's still a good job there because he can stretch the field horizontally with his movement. He's a threat to run. Now, will he do that? I don't know. I don't think they're going to use a lot of the pistol or anything like that, mainly because Manziel isn't an accurate quarterback. He needs to throw the ball up to big boys and let the big boys come down. And like I said, I love Housler. I think Housler is a Gronkowski just waiting to happen. Big, big kid, hard to take down, catches the ball well with his hands, and then steamrolls you as he moves down the field. I really think he's going to be a top 10 tight end this year. I really do. But let's look at their starting lineup or potential starting lineup. Josh McCown, Isaiah Crowell, Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, Andrew Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel, Vince Mill, Rob Housler, Gary Barnidge are the tight ends. and Garrett Hartley is the kicker. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know the Cleveland Browns aren't much to look at, much to like. I understand that 110%, but I think they're going to have a couple upsets this year. I really think they're going to have a couple upsets that's going to propel them better than what they were last year. I disagree with Jerry. They went out and they drafted pretty well, in my opinion. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. They had 12 draft picks. 12 draft picks. And I think half of these guys are going to make contributions to the team this year. I really do.
Did they draft a wide receiver?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They drafted Vince Mayo out of Washington State. 6'2", 224 pounds. Got him in the fourth round.
Okay.
Yes. So I think this kid he's going to develop. I actually think he'll be better than Taylor Gabriel and might even push Hawkins, even though Hawkins proved last year that he can be a reliable receiver. Not a number one, not a go-to guy, but a guy that can get you a first down or get you a big play here and there. So at 6'2", 224, you're talking about a big boy that can move. Dwayne Bowe isn't a speedster, but he's a big guy, too, that can catch the ball and, you know, get downfield if need be. Hartline is very consistent, another six-footer. So if you see where I'm going, to me it looks like, you know, McCown is going to have some six-footers again like he did in Chicago. Now, granted, they don't have the talent of Alshon Jeffries or Brandon Marshall, but, you know, there's some stuff there. But let's go over this schedule real quick, JT. All right. We're going to go wins and losses and then explanation as to why, okay?
Sure.
All right. Opening up at the Jets.
Loss.
Tennessee.
Win.
Oakland.
Win.
At San Diego.
Loss.
At Baltimore.
Excuse me?
At Baltimore.
Loss.
Denver.
Loss.
At St. Louis.
You know, I originally had a loss. I converted to a win, but this can easily be a loss. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'll give them a win on this.
Okay. Arizona.
Loss.
At Cincy on a Thursday night.
Loss.
At Pittsburgh.
Loss.
And this is very good for them. They have a bye week in week 11. I think that's going to make a huge difference in how they finish the season. But they come back on a Monday night. They come back Monday night at home with Baltimore.
Loss.
Cincinnati.
Loss.
San Francisco.
This can go either way, but considering the team I'm talking about, I give San Francisco to win. Cleveland loss.
At Seattle.
Automatic loss.
At Kansas City.
Another automatic loss.
And finishing up home with Pittsburgh.
Division rival, Pittsburgh's probably going to need it. They're one of the top five teams in the AFC trying to get a good spot to get into the Super Bowl. They get another loss.
All right, so what do you have them finishing as?
I have them winning three games.
You gave them more than three games. You gave them more than three wins. Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
You gave them Tennessee.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
I have it written right down here, so I know what I gave him. I gave him Tennessee and Oakland back-to-back.
Yeah.
And then I gave him winning St. Louis, and I said that could easily be a loss because it's in St. Louis. But I gave him the benefit of the doubt, and I gave him a win. And that's the last one I gave him a win to.
Man, I'm going to listen to the playback of this show. No, that –
Trust me. Trust me.
Okay.
Trust me. I'm looking right at what I told you. And I, if they win three games, if they win more than three games, I'll be very surprised because they have a pretty tough schedule here.
Now, here's what I got for you. Remember we had that Jacksonville deal? No, I want it on Cleveland. I got Cleveland winning way more than three games. So here's the deal.
I mean,
No. You gave them three.
Calm down.
Okay.
I'm ready. Calm down. Calm down.
You gave them three. So therefore, the deal is a Benji with four wins or more.
No, hell no.
No. You gave them three.
Well, they got 16, 17 games here, and any squirrel can find another two in a season.
Okay, then I'll tell you what. I'll do this for you.
Let me ask you something. You say you got to win way more games than I do. What's the way more games?
Okay, we agree on the Tennessee-Oakland, right? I got a surprise for you in San Diego. I think they're going to win three straight games there. Then it's going to happen. Then I have them. What was it? I haven't beaten Cincinnati at Cincinnati on Thursday night. I have them beating Baltimore. I'm telling you, I haven't beating Baltimore off the bye week because that's a home game coming off a bye week. Okay, Monday night game, home game. Okay, I got them beating San Francisco, the 49ers, because I think they're going to suck this year. And they quite possibly, now this is my throw-in game, might beat Pittsburgh in the last game of the season because I don't think Pittsburgh is going to need that win to win the division. I think they're going to play maybe a quarter or two and then, you know, let the backups come in. I got them going at least 6-10, maybe even going 8-8. But
what?
But
Cleveland.
I said, but.
Would Josh McDowell? Come on.
Yeah, but you're forgetting about that defense, dude. That defense, they're a top five defense. Granted, they're going against a couple top five defenses, but I'm telling you, don't sleep on Cleveland. You gave them four wins. I gave him six. The rubber is four. You gave him three. You gave him three. Yeah. I gave him six. Yep. The rub is four. So they got to win more than five. They got to win five. Let's go there. Let's go four or five. Four is a push. Five is a win for me. I'll give you that extra game. I'm giving you a game. What?
Nope.
Oh, dude.
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
So you're not confident in that 3-13 record you just gave them then?
Not as like I said, every now and then a squirrel can find a nut, and one of these teams.
I gave you that nut. I gave you the fourth game.
Let me put it this way. There's some shaky quarterbacks that they play. So with this quarterback play in the Jets. In Cincinnati and possibly in San Francisco and Kansas City, I go in there. No way am I going there because those quarterbacks can come up big and they can come up very small. It all depends on how the wind's blowing at that certain day. So, no. There's too many variables. The house has too much of an advantage to even go that route.
God, you're the one that gave them 3-13 saying you don't see them. They'll be lucky to get more than three. So I said, okay, fine. I'll give you that fourth game as a cushion,
as a push.
Why?
Now I may regret it, and we're spending too much time on this, but I may regret it. But
oh, now we're spending too much time on it.
No, well, I mean, you're going back and forth because now you figured you got me on the ropes here, and that you got me, you can reel me in, and it's not going to happen. Not on this.
Really, really,
not Jerry. On this. Not on this.
Okay.
Not
okay.
On this.
See, You're such a oh my God, JT. You're killing me, Smalls.
Here we go. Now you're gonna start calling me names now. That's okay.
I just called you Smalls. Okay. I called you Smalls. What's wrong with me calling you Smalls? Jeez. Okay, see? You got issues. It's okay.
That's all right. It's all right. It's, you know, when you don't get your way, you start calling people names, but I understand.
I called you Smalls. I didn't call you anything but Smalls. It's not like I said dopey or nothing like that. So
call me Smalls. You know, let me say this, Spector.
Oh my God.
I stand at 5'7". So maybe I have a Napoleon complex. So when I put out the word small, I get it kind of a little offended, but that's okay.
Well, you're short to me then. You are shorter than I am. It's all right.
Yes, I am.
It's okay. Yes. It's okay. Now, since you are small in the pants and in the pockets, I guess we'll move on.
Like I said, short legs. I don't say those things to you, but I consider the source, and I understand your insecurity, so I'll deal with it.
Oh, really? Really? I have no insecurity. Whatever, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, say right there, you're telling the bold face, because everybody has insecurities. Everyone, whether they want to admit it or not, everyone has.
Well, my friend, I don't have one based upon, you know, my picking. Somebody on the other end does, but that's okay. You know why?
I have, you know.
This is why I know that you're not ready. You're not ready.
I want winners.
And apparently, you're not one of them ready to rock and roll with me. It's okay though.
Not on that, but I'm pretty sure that we tried to get to one before, but you didn't want to go there. You said there'll be plenty of time for that. I'll go back to that same statement that you made. There'll be plenty of time opportunity for some other one. So you don't have to stay on this one.
I'm about to move on to a different subject or a different team.
The fact that you
felt that 3-13 is all Cleveland can do. I'm giving you a game and you don't want to take it.
Because 3-13, I understand.
I want winners.
I understand what can happen in a season, and a team that I think they only won what, 4 games last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that. No, they won more than four.
Okay, but I think they're going to take a step back. I think they're going to take a step back. I don't think they're going to take a step forward. Not with these teams. Let me put it this way. Just look at, and I hate to be laboring on Cleveland, but look at the quarterbacks. Past the third game, they go against Phillip Rivers. They go against Joe Flacco twice. They go against Peyton Manning. They go against Carson Palmer in that Bruce Arians offense, which is a high-powered offense. And they go against Russell Wilson. They go against Pittsburgh twice, Baltimore twice, Denver, San Diego, and Arizona. Come on. Their quarterback won't be able to keep up. He's a turnover waiting to happen.
Then make the deal. You're proving why you should make the deal, and yet you won't make the deal. So either you're scared or you don't believe in what you're saying.
I believe wholeheartedly in what I'm saying, but I'm not willing to go that route with this team. Plain and simple.
I'm not willing to go that route with this team.
Why don't you just accept it and let's move on?
You know what? I will move on. And the reason why I move on is because scared money ain't going to make me no money. But I know that this will.
That's right.
The Game of Thrones. Here we go. talking about the Cincinnati Bengals here. I don't know if you hear me very well, JT. Let me know if I'm getting overpowered by the music. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to pot it down. I'll pot it down just a little bit. All right, here we go. Head coach Marvin Lewis in his 13th season with the Bengals, which is remarkable. I believe he is the most tenured head coach next to Bill Belichick. He has Hugh Jackson in his second season.
Hasn't won a playoff game in 12 seasons.
Well, it is what it is, brother. Second season as the Bengals offensive coordinator Hugh Jackson comes in as the power running game he always wanted. The Bengals have a big-time line that thrives in Jackson's gap-blocking scheme, and they now have a true power back in Jeremy Hill, who Jerry last year said would overtake the job, and he was right. Hill should enter the season getting the bulk of the early down snaps in Cincinnati. The only thing that would change that is if ball security issues arise. Giovanni Bernard should take all passing snaps, and he'll still be sprinkled in as early down change of pace back, especially early in the first half of games. Bernard is often utilized on the perimeter, especially in stretch plays. Jackson has done his best to take Andy Dalton out of the equation, and that'll continue to go to the run game heavily this season. Dalton will continue to throw a lot of contested deep balls to A.J. Johnson and let his stud receiver make plays. Ditto for a healthy Marvin Jones when teams roll coverage to green. Tyler Eifert will take Jermaine Gresham's spot as Dalton's safety valve underneath. They use the screen game frequently, with Bernard getting heavy usage there. Eifert will also occasionally see throws behind the line of scrimmage. They'll split time between three wide receivers, with wide receiver Mohamed Sanu and two tight ends with rookie Tyler Croft. In the red zone, the Bengals keep it on the ground more and more the closer they get to the end zone. Hill will see a heavy workload when they get inside the 10. When they throw, look for Eifert to often be the primary target, especially as teams roll coverage to Green. Green was targeted on only two of Cincinnati's 13 pass attempts inside the opponent's 10 last year. In my opinion, that was a big mistake. Now, these guys, I'm talking about the Cincinnati Bengals, they figured they needed to fix their offensive line. Now, they've got Andre Wadsworth, and I've got the kid out of Alabama at their tackle positions. But what did the Bengals do? First two picks, first two rounds, they get two tackles. In the first round, they got Cedric Ogbahi, tackle from Texas A&M. Second round, Jake Fisher, tackle out of Oregon. Both men, 6'5 and 6'6 respectively, 306 pounds apiece. Then we went and got Tyler Croft, the tight end, out of Rutgers. They didn't get a actual playmaking position player until the 7th round with Mario Alford, wide receiver, 5'8, 180 pounds, out of West Virginia. And the solemn music plays as we end the Bengals synopsis, because it's going to be sad. I think, this is just me talking, Cincinnati's going to come in last in the AFC North. But JT, let's hear what you got to say, brother.
Well, one of my favorite offensive coordinators, I got really two favorite offensive coordinators that I really, really like, because you know what they're going to do, and they're pretty predictable in what they do. One being Norv Turner, who's one of the best offensive coordinators in the NFL, and the other one, as long as they got a decent offensive line and a runner that can run behind that line, is Hugh Jackson. Because you know what Hugh Jackson is going to do. He's going to run the football. He's going to run the rock. And everywhere Hugh Jackson is gone, they've had a decent running back that can stay healthy, with a decent offensive line, that running back has excelled. That's why I picked Jeremy Hill to take over the job from Giovanni Bernard, who is a better runner and more versatile than Giovanni Bernard. They're going to run the football. This is one of the best running football teams, in my opinion, that they're going to be this year. Their issue is their pass rush. They had one of the worst pass rushes in the league. And their other issue is in pressure situations, their quarterback folds up like a cheap suit. And the proof is in the pudding. You see when he's in a pressure-filled game, in the playoffs especially, that he doesn't show up. Mediocre teams, the teams that are not that good, he plays well. Very sparingly do you see him play well against a quality opponent. That's why I think Cincinnati is not going to have that many wins. More wins than Cleveland, because Cleveland's got a bigger issue with the quarterback.
Here we go, but too offense. Scared to bet. Too scared
but
to bet.
But Cincinnati is, I think, going to take a step back and not be really in contention to win the NFC North. I think it's a two-horse race, and we haven't talked about those teams yet. That's how I feel about Cincinnati.
All right, well, you know, let's go to their starting lineup real quick. Andy Dalton, Jeremy Hill, sprinkled in with Giovanni Bernard, A.J. Green, Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Denarius Moore, former Raider who's got speed to burn, Mario Alford, Tyler Eifert, and Mike Nugent. Now, you mentioned the pass rush of Cincinnati. What I got to tell you about the pass rush is I don't know what happened with Geno Atkins. I really don't. Geno Atkins, he came off of injury, got paid, and, you know, they were gangbusters for a while. You had Gethers on one end. You had a couple other folks on the other end. Manaluga playing outside linebacker. And you know what? Vontaze Buford out. I'm telling you, that made a huge difference in that pass rush. I know he plays middle linebacker. And I know he does a lot of things, but he can cover a running back out of the backfield. And without somebody covering that running back, they got hit with a lot of checkdowns, a lot of screens, and a lot of things that hurt the pass rush. So if Geno Atkins can come back healthy, if Vontaze Buford can come back healthy, Cincinnati will do well on defensive end. I mentioned something earlier about how, you know, A.J. Green had only seen two targets, not catches, but targets with inside the 10 last year on 13 passing attempts. What does that tell you? It tells you several things. First of all, that Cincinnati will run the rock as much as possible when they're inside the 10-yard line. Two, A.J. Green is taken out of the equation unless it's some fade jump ball type situation, but he only had two of them last year. Are you drafting A.J. Green as your number one wide receiver? He's good, but I don't know if I'm drafting him as my number one wide receiver. I don't know.
No.
I'm in agreement with you, JT. I'm in agreement. Because, one, you can't count Andy Dalton, and two, they are a run-heavy team. AJ's going to get his touch.
Told you that last year.
AJ's going to get his touches, but he's not going to be a double-digit touchdown guy. He won't even be close to that. In my opinion, he might get 5 or 6 touchdowns on the entire year. Because of Andy Dalton and the way they play, I think he's going to be a number 2 wide receiver in fantasy this year. But we haven't gotten to that. That comes in August. So, JT, let's go over this record or the schedule. And let's hit it. They open up at Oakland.
Loss. I mean, excuse me, win. Win.
San Diego.
Loss.
At Baltimore.
Loss.
Kansas City.
Toss up. This is a team that has two similar quarterbacks. even though Alex Smith is probably a little bit better than Andy Dalton, but you never know what you're going to get. But they're playing home against Kansas City, so I'll give them. These two teams like to run a football too, so I expect this to be a tight game. Excuse me, a tight game, and showcasing the running backs in this game. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt because this game can go either way. I'll give them a win with that.
Okay, Seattle.
Loss.
At Buffalo.
Big time rush, big time defense in Buffalo, a loss.
Don't forget Shady too. I agree with you there. Now this is what's going to hurt them, especially coming with this back end of their schedule. Especially coming with the back end of their schedule. They get their bye week in week 7. Then they come back and go on the road in week 8 to Pittsburgh.
Loss.
Then they're home Thursday night for Cleveland.
They feel a little bit better about themselves. Even though it's a division game, they win that one.
Disagree. And, of course, I got a feeling I know what you're going to say on this one. They go from a Thursday night to a Monday night. It's still a home game, but it's against Houston.
Loss.
At Arizona.
Another loss.
Home for St. Louis.
They win that.
I disagree. At Cleveland.
They win that.
Pittsburgh.
Here's where it gets ugly. They lose.
At San Francisco.
They lose again.
Disagree. At Denver Monday night.
They lose.
And they finish up at home versus Baltimore.
This can go either way, depending on how Baltimore is feeling. But it's a division rival. These two teams do not like each other because of the storied history. The Baltimore Ravens were the Cleveland Browns at one point, and now they're playing in Cleveland with the new Cleveland Browns.
No, it's Cincinnati going to Baltimore to end the season.
I'm sorry. You're right. This is a heel-to-heel rivalry. You're right. Sorry, not Cleveland. And these guys do not like each other. And if anything has to do with the playoffs, Cincinnati will want to knock off Baltimore and vice versa. So I'm saying Cincinnati wins this.
Okay. Here's what I got for you. What is your record that you're giving?
Which is 6-10.
Okay. Which I believe is around the same place that I have Cleveland. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Cincinnati's only going to win 2 games after their bye week. 2. They're going to beat St. Louis, and they're going to beat San Francisco. You know what? 3. I give them 3 because they're going to split with Cleveland. They'll split with Cleveland. They're going to win 3 out of their last 8 games. And I got them winning 3 of their first 8 games or 7 games. 6 games, I should say.
Make your mind up.
They're going to be 6-10. And I think they're going to be right there with Cleveland. And that's why I have Cleveland finishing above them, because it's going to be a point differential. I really think that's the case. So with that being said, I still don't hear any action from somebody called the Master. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break. And when I come back, we're going to finish up the AFC North. Maybe Jerry will grow some cojones and lay it all on the line. We'll be back un momento.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features 2 men that can help in both areas. Jerry, the Master Tailor, and Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman, provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan. Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, along with JTAT and Money, doing what we do because we do it for you all day, every day, right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. If you are interested and would love to hear this show, along with all of our other shows, streaming 24/7, 365, go to spotonradios.com. And check us out. Check out the shows. Check out the information we have. Really soon, we're going to have some information up there about the upcoming football season, waiting for the writers to jump in there and do their thing. Hopefully, we'll get some articles up there soon enough. Also, while you're there, click on the DraftKings banners. Let's try to make a ship load of money. I've noticed there's an uptake in people going to the site and clicking on the banners. But let's see if you're going to make a deposit and play the game. Matter of fact, I have some free tickets to give away to some free games to new DraftKings personnel. So if you go to DraftKings and you've never been there before and I give you one of these free tickets, you can play a game for free. All I got to do is build a profile. And we're going to do some trivia to give away those tickets. Hopefully tomorrow JT will get somebody to win some trivia tickets and I can give them away. I'll give JT the information. He gets it from the listener and we'll give you your free ticket. But back to the program. And right now we're talking about the Baltimore Ravens and the AFC North. We're finishing up the AFC North before we get to the MLB All-Star ballots, why they got invalidated, and then the what if game. What if Len Bias played Michael Jordan for the past 10 years? What if they had to play each other? Would MJ be the biggest star that he is in the world of basketball, in the world of sports, and in the mind's eye of a lot of people? Or would Len Bias have been that player? Again, this is the what if game. We'll talk about that later after we finish these next two teams. So JT, you pick the music you want to hear with the Baltimore Ravens. Do you want to play What Time? Do you want me to play, let's see, Lemonade? Or would you like to hear?
Lemonade is good enough.
All right, here we go. Lemonade it is. Baltimore Ravens head coach John Harbaugh in his eighth. Wow, it's been eight seasons with the Baltimore Ravens, but he has a new offensive coordinator. Now, check this out. Trestman is a quarterback whisperer, just didn't work with, you know, Jay Cutler, but he's a new offensive coordinator. in Baltimore. Now that Gary Kubiak is the head coach in Denver. Part of last year's running game resurgence was the upgrade, and I don't think it's an upgrade in my opinion, from Ray Rice to the older but fresher Justin Forsett. But most of it was improved play from a line that started to meld in their second year of a zone-heavy scheme. Despite the change from Kubiak to Trestman, the Ravens figured to have a similar system up front and enjoy similar success with incumbent O-line coach Juan Castillo still in town. Forsett will likely see his workload diminish, especially with Lorenzo Taliaferro healthy and ready to take a bigger workload. Rookie, Javarius Allen is a good fit in this system. And Allen's from USC, so we'll see. Trestman will bring changes to the passing game. Gone are the play actions and bootlegs of Gary Kubiak's scheme. Joe Flacco will stay in the pocket more often, but like he did with Kubiak's offense, Flacco will be asked to distribute the ball quickly in a system predicated on timing. Steve Smith Sr. is the number one receiver as long as he holds up physically, with rookie Breshad Perriman stretching the field. Dennis Pitta or rookie Max Williams are the possession guys. Trestman will keep a second tight end on the field to protect a strength of Taliaferro's. Forsett will be used frequently in the screen game. But in the red zone, ladies and gentlemen, this is where we get a little tricky. It's tough to project Trestman's red zone tendencies given the new system and new personnel, but this is where a big back like Taliaferro could take one of two bigger roles, the power back. Williams and Pitta, if healthy, should emerge as primary options in the red zone. With their first round pick, 26 overall, the Ravens went out and got the same type of guy they let go. And I'm talking about Smith. They let go of one Smith, picked up Breshad Perriman, who's in my opinion, a carbon copy of the Smith they let go. 6'2", 212, out of University of Central Florida. Then he went tight end with Max Williams out of Minnesota, who I love to death. I love Max Williams, but the problem is he's got Dennis Pitta in front of him. And Dennis Pitta is no joke. But then
Pitta's not healthy.
That is true. But then they went out and got a replacement for Nada and Carl Davis out of Iowa, 6'5", 320 pounds. Pretty big boy, pretty good guy. I don't think he's as nasty as Haloti Ngata is. And I love this linebacker they got out of Kentucky, Za'Darius Smith. I'm not sure why he fell to the fourth round, but at 6'4", 274, this kid has a motor as an outside linebacker and can get the job done. That brings us to their other fourth round pick, Javarius Allen out of USC, and their other fourth round pick is a cornerback. The second defensive player taken by the Ravens, Trey Walker, 6'2", 180 out of Texas Southern. JT, your thoughts on the Baltimore Ravens?
Always contenders, never pretenders. This is a solid team that I think has improved their defense a little bit, even though they've lost some players. And they have question marks on the outside skill positions in wide receivers. They have Steve Smith, who's long in the tooth. They have the rookie they drafted in Perriman, who's looks like he may have hamstone. He may be inconsistent catcher of the football. Probably their most consistent guy, young guy, I should say, catching the football is probably their tight end, Max Williams. I think they're going to be running two tight end sets also. If Dennis Pitta is healthy, because they want to get Max Williams involved in the offense because he's supposedly that good. So I think they're going to be a playoff team, but not Super Bowl contenders.
Okay. I can agree with you on that. I think that Flacco is the type of quarterback that Trestman likes. He's not a gunslinger. He's very judicious with the ball. He doesn't do a lot of turnovers. So I think Flacco might flourish in this offense as a passer. But Steve Smith is the only reliable guy. Dennis Pitta is injury prone, but, you know, still good hands. You got a rookie there and Pyramid, followed by, and this is their receiving core as of right now. Steve Smith, Rashad Pyramid, Marlon Brown, Kamar Aiken, and Michael Campanaro. Only one of those guys has proven he can be in the NFL. One. That bodes badly for Baltimore, in my opinion. But let's get to this record. That tells me they're also going to run a lot, too, or they need to. They start off on the road for their first two games, and they're both AFC West opponents, but they open up at Denver.
Loss.
At Oakland.
Win.
Cincinnati.
Win.
Thursday night at Pittsburgh.
Loss. Back-to-back.
Yeah. Division opponents.
Back-to-back division opponents and a short week. They lose it at Pittsburgh.
And then they have another opponent in the division, but they're home this time for Cleveland.
10-day off, play on a Sunday. They get Cleveland, and Cleveland goes down. They win.
At San Francisco.
Tough game. I know a lot of people take it San Francisco, but as being a down team this year, this is going to be a tough game for Flacco and company, but I think they get the win.
At Arizona on a Monday night.
Bruce Arians, old team. I mean, Bruce Arians loved to go up against the AFC North. He used to be a coach in the AFC North. They lose to Arizona.
Home for San Diego, week 8.
They win.
Then they get out week 9, which will help them. It'll help them because the last part of the season isn't too bad for them. But they come back home for Jacksonville.
Win that.
St. Louis.
They win that.
At Cleveland, Monday night.
Win that.
At Miami.
Lose that.
Seattle.
They lose that.
Kansas City.
Can just go either way, but I think they win this.
Pittsburgh.
They always play Pittsburgh tough. Always play them tough. They lost to Pittsburgh earlier at Pittsburgh. They play home. I think they win against Pittsburgh home.
Finish up the season at Cincinnati.
Usually these teams, and I usually like splitting division rivals and division teams, and I'll do the same here. They won at home against Cincinnati, and going to Cincinnati, they lose. I give them 10-6.
10-6. Okay. That's reasonable. That's reasonable. We're pretty much on the same accord here, except for a couple of games. I think they'll surprise in a few and disappoint in a few as well, which will balance out. However, still not going to be enough to get them in the playoffs, I think. I really, really think the big division this year in the AFC is going to be the AFC East. I really think so. And I think you'll maybe get two, maybe even three teams out of the AFC East. So you're only going to get one from the AFC North. and we're about to get to them in a minute. But 10 and 6, 9 and 7 is where I got them. 10 and 6, 9 and 7. So, you know, I think it's a good mix right there between what we have together. Let's get ready to go to the final team in this division. And, you know, I think it's important to let everybody know. I already did game time, didn't I? I already did game time. Well, let's do it again. I don't care. It's a game time, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way it sounds in a Pittsburgh locker room. So what's about to happen?
What's on my my music?
Your what?
I see that. You like all my music?
I like your music.
Put on there.
I do. I'm not going to knock it. Whatever.
I know. I'm just,
Mike Tomlin.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Mike Tomlin in his ninth season with the Steelers. Todd Haley in his fourth season as the offensive coordinator has a comfort zone with Ben Roethlisberger. Yes. Yes. But have you heard what Ben said about people and going up against Antonio Brown this year? Oh, my. He's got so much confidence in this guy. He thinks he's going to be the best receiver in football this year. Here we go. O-line coach Mike. Love that. I'm telling you. O-line coach Mike Munchak, formerly of the Titans head man, seemed to make an enormous difference with the Steelers. Relatively new zone blocking scheme last season, though having a relatively healthy offensive line certainly helped. Le'Veon Bell is the workhorse as his unique patent running style, or excuse me, patient running style has messed perfectly with the O-line. He's facing a 3-game suspension to start the season, during which the Steelers are likely looking at a committee approach led by D'Angelo Williams. I believe that got shortened to like, what, 2 games? I don't know, we gotta get to that. But in the passing game, Haley emphasizes quicker timing routes in order to keep Ben Roethlisberger from absorbing too many hits. Antonio Brown is absolutely the number one receiver, showing excellent chemistry with Roethlisberger on option routes and moving all over the field to find mismatches. Martavis Bryant is in for a bigger role after breaking out in the second half of 2014. He ran a limited route tree last year, and while he'll see a greater variety of plays, he's still primarily a go route or slip screen guy. Marcus Wheaton will likely rotate with Bryant at the second outside spot, and the Steelers will frequently play 3 wide receivers. Heath Miller is safely blanketed, is the safety blanket option, who spends time staying in to protect. Bell is a major weapon in the passing game. In the red zone, Bell plays almost every snap inside opponents' red zone, and he also gets the team's goal line carries. Roethlisberger attempted 48 passes inside the opponent's 10 last year, third most in the league. Brown is by far his favorite target, while Miller seems sees some play action looks. Bell is the only other player who sees a significant number of targets near the goal line. As the song says, it's game time. JT, couple questions I got for you before you get into this. One, is Le'Veon Bell still a top 3 running back to pick, even though he's facing the suspension? Two, is Ben Roethlisberger right about Antonio Brown being the best receiver in football right now? And three, can D'Angelo Williams carry the load while Le'Veon Bell is gone? You got it.
Number one, talking about Le'Veon Bell. He missed a few games last season. And then he balled out for the rest of the season until he got hurt near the end of the season and in playoffs. There's no doubt in my mind that he's still that number three. He's the top five running back. There's no doubt in my mind. Because the fact is, you saw what he did with a shortened season, basically. And then he's going to have a shortened season, and more than likely, he's going to get his suspension reduced. He'd probably get two games versus three, but it is what it is. Number two, you asked me, is Antonio Brown a number one wide receiver, the best wide receiver in the NFL? Let me put it like this. I've been touting Antonio Brown, and this is the third season I've been touting him. I touted him last year. I touted him the year before, and every year he's gotten better, absolutely better. I'm touting this whole Steeler offense and certain people, and I'm not picking any names out, have been poo-pooing what I've been saying until they realized.
Not me. Not me.
Wait a minute. Oh, yes, you did. Anyway, that's
no,
all right.
No, I didn't. A couple years ago.
And question my thinking in drafting, because I did it on one team, the quarterback, who's a top five quarterback. If you look at his statistics and his QBR rating, was a top five quarterback, and he's getting nothing but better and more comfortable with more lethal weapons in Tavius Bryant and Marcus Wheaton, along with his steady Heath Miller, and Le'Veon Bell. So I really like this team. I think they're a Super Bowl contending team. They've gotten quicker and younger on the defense, which they needed to do. And I think that's going to improve their defense with the same philosophy that they've been using all these years, even though Dick LeBeau is no longer with them. I'm loving this team. Ben Roethlisberger and Todd Haley have gone through, according to the media, turmoil because of either not trusting each other or because it wasn't Bruce Arian, who Ben Roethlisberger was used to, and he went on to become the head coach in Arizona. But I'm loving this offense, and this defense is coming along. This is going to be a lethal team and a team to be reckoned with this year.
Well, here's what we're going to do, because I think they addressed a lot of their issues in the draft. They went and got another linebacker in Bud Dupree, a beast, in my opinion, in the first round. Then they went and got the Mississippi cornerback, which is 5'9", 176 pounds, Cinquez Golson. Then they got another 6'1 wide receiver, my boy, Sammy Coates, who's another go-route guy, but a big body go route guy at 6'1". Only receiver they took. Okay. Then they went and got another cornerback, short one again, at 5'10", out of Ohio State, Doran Grant. Penn State tight end Jesse James. Then they got a defensive end that is 319 pounds, 6'5", out of Central Michigan, Latarius Watson. Anthony Chiquillo, linebacker, 6'3", 267 pounds, out of Miami. And then they finished up at safety from Louisville, 6'2", 218 pounds, Gerard Holloman. I think they address some of their issues. I really do. Although I don't like the size of their cornerbacks, they have some good corners. With Ike Taylor retiring or done, and a few other the cornerbacks not being there, trying to replace Polamalu. Their secondary is going to be a little suspect. But I think Pittsburgh is going to rub the NFC North the wrong way. So with that being said, JT, starting lineup, Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell. While he's not there, they have D'Angelo Williams and Dre Archer. Then a wide receiver, Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Marcus Wheaton, Sammy Coates, Darius Haywood Bay. I love their receivers. I really do. I really do. Then you got Heath Miller, Matt Spaeth, and Jesse James. Bandwagon. Whatever. And then Sean Sweezum at kicker. I'm telling you, Pittsburgh's on it. They're on it, bro. But they open up.
I've been telling you guys that for years.
Finance, punk. They open the season up, the actual NFL season, really, Thursday night against the Deflategate champions. I mean, NFL champion, New England Patriots. What you got for me, JT?
Okay. Win.
Then they're home for San Fran.
Win.
At St. Louis.
Win.
Home game Thursday night for Baltimore.
Win.
At San Diego Monday night.
On a roll. Win.
Okay. Then at home, Arizona.
Win.
At Kansas City.
Hiccup, loss.
What? Okay. Home for
Hiccup,
Cincinnati.
Loss. Win.
Home for Oakland.
Win.
Cleveland.
Win. Bye week 11.
Which is great for them. Great for them.
Yep.
Then they come back off the bye week and go to Seattle.
Awesome.
Indy.
Should be a good game, though. Should be a good game. But it's going to be a loss.
It should be. So you got Indy.
Loss.
At Cincinnati.
That could go either way, too. That could go either way because they have Indy at home. Because that could go either way. Indy doesn't play as well on the road as they do at home. So that could go either way.
Agreed. At Cincy.
That's a win.
Home for Peyton Manning and the Broncos.
This can go either way, but I think they come away with a loss.
Okay. At Baltimore.
They always have games either decided by 3 points or less, and they're in Baltimore. I think they split. They lose this one.
Then they finish at Cleveland.
With the win.
And you have them at?
I have them 11-5.
11-5, 12-4.
Strong contender. Contender to take it to the AFC Championship.
I agree. I got them around 12-4. I have them losing to Denver, even though Denver's coming to them. I pretty much have them going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They'll probably open up season 5-0 and lose to Arizona. Then they'll go on another 4-game win streak. I agree with you, have them losing to Seattle. Toss-up game, as you said, with Indianapolis. But I think they finish out pretty strong with their only loss to Denver in their remaining games. So I see them at 12-4 and a very strong possibility of making it to the AFC Championship game. But, again, I think the strength is in the AFC East, which is the division we're going to take on next week. So stick around for that, ladies and gentlemen. But that there wraps up our AFC North breakdown. So what we're going to do is take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to discuss this Major League Baseball ballot, all-star game ballot invalidation, which I think is kind of stupid, but you got to do what you got to do to protect the integrity of the game. Yeah, right, MLB. Stick and stay with me. It's your boy FSP, along with his boy JT. We'll be back in a minute.
With a breakdown of Sunday NFL games, Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman, points out the good, the bad, and the ugly of the predictions made on the Master Plan. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Lance brings you the Extra Point. During the NFL season, Lance comes to you live from blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. With a growing following, jump on board for the Extra Point with Lance Goodman at blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also check him out on the Master Plan with Jerry Taylor at 10 a.m. Eastern. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, along with JT ATM Money. And we're going to kick it to you like this. Major League Baseball has invalidated 65 million All-Star ballots. Why? Well, it came to light that pretty much the entire starting lineup of the Kansas City Royals were going to start for the AL in the All-Star game. Eight of the nine starting lineup for the Kansas City Royals are the leading vote getters without the pitcher. So this shortstop, second baseman, first baseman, third baseman, catcher, left field, right field, center field, all of them are voted in as top vote getter by the fan. Omar Infante holds a 0.227 batting average, and he's going to start at second base. Well, MLB said, that's not going to happen. According to Bob Bowman, CEO of Major League Baseball Advanced Media, who spoke with Yahoo Sports, he says, and I quote, "I'm not saying we bat 1,000, but it's between 60 and 65 million votes that have been canceled. We don't really trump it because if someone thinks they're getting away with it, they'll try it again." Pretty much what's happening is some people have found a way to electronically stuff the ballot box. Each person legally can vote up to 35 times. However, someone has found a way to make sure that they voted more than 35 times with different IP addresses and different this, different that. And all the Kansas City Royals are set to start in the All-Star game. Not so fast as Lee Corso might say. 65 million votes getting thrown away. That's a lot. Which ones do you throw away and how do you decide? JT, your thoughts, especially since you're a baseball guy and you like baseball, your thoughts on it and the situation.
Well, I'm amazed at 65 million. That's an unreal amount. I can't believe that many fans are stuffing the ballot box. How many did you say Kansas City Royals were being
eight
elected
of their,
to the
eight of
eight
the
of their starting of
nine? Yes.
Wow. I don't know how you can put a limit on that. I mean, I think there's a limit on the amount of people, what they can amount of votes that per person can put in. I think it's 35 or something like that. Something like that.
It's 35. It's 35.
And 65. I can't believe it may be possible, but I can't believe 65 million votes are invalid. Or they're just trying to, well, I understand they're trying to even it out so they have a representation from every team. And it's not overcompensated for one team versus several other teams. I don't know if I agree with it, but I can understand it. And it's probably something unique. I don't know if it's ever been done before to this magnitude or ever been done at all. And it just hasn't been reported. And this year it's being reported because of the magnitude of the invalid votes that the MLB is discarding. But in my opinion, the All-Star game is the All-Star game. I'm more interested in the regular season versus the All-Star game. So whatever they want to do to try to get the fanship or the viewership up, I should say, to watch the All-Star game and all the things that go with it, I'm all for it.
Well, it's not to get the viewership up. They just want to stop the fraudulent voting. Now, does that mean that every Royal vote got discounted? I don't know. How do they decide which 65 million we're going to get, you know, thrown away? To me, you know, MLB is trying to find its way back. They're trying to find the young superstars that can hit home runs, hit for average, and seemingly do it the right way and carry the sport into the next 5-10 years. And they found it in Mike Trout. Bryce Harper's the bad boy. So you need a good guy, bad guy. They got these young pitchers and stuff like that. And Kansas City is a city that had a lot of misery over the years up until last year, as far as the sports go, the franchise. You know, it's kind of bad over there. But to invalidate $65 million, I want to know the criteria. That's me. I just want to know the criteria. I don't think it's a bad thing to do. But if you let us know why or how you went through the process, then I'm okay with it. But, you know, behind closed doors, we're going to invalidate this one, we're going to invalidate that one, we're going to invalidate this one, because it has a close IP address, whatever. That would be terrible. That would be terrible, in my opinion. I think it's wrong, and I hope that Major League Baseball, even if people go back in and say, you know what, we're still going to vote 8 out of the 9 Kansas City Royals as starters, that they let it happen. Because all they got to do is start the game. They can be pulled at any time. You know, that's up to the manager of the All-Star game. And I understand that, yes, home field advantage is on the line, but wouldn't you think if the Kansas City Royals – had good chemistry, which they do, and they're starting for you. You know what I mean? I don't know who the starting pitcher is going to be, but that will be a benefit to somebody going out there and having a bunch of all-stars play against pretty much the Kansas City Royals. Just my opinion. Wouldn't be bad. I wouldn't want to see it every year, but I don't think it would be that bad. That's just me. All right, next question and last question. It's the what-if game, JT. We got about 6 minutes left, so let's get this hypothetical. Lynn Bias, yesterday was the anniversary of his death and so on and so forth, but Lynn Bias plays in the NBA for 10 years, goes against Michael Jordan for 10 years. Who becomes the bigger star?
Who becomes the biggest star? Are you kidding? Are you serious?
Between Lynn Bias regardless and Michael Jordan.
Regardless of where Michael Jordan played, whether he played in Chicago or another team, because of his skill set, he would be a superstar anywhere he went. Because obviously when he gets on the court, when he got on the court, and the coaching staff, whoever it may be, in this case it was the Bulls coaching staff, saw what they had, they made sure that they get the best out of that player. And Michael Jordan would have been a superstar anywhere. Now, would he win 6 championships? Right place, right time, right people, right coaching, right opponents? I don't think so. Would he have won some championships? I believe so. Because the fact is they would have surrounded him with the necessary people in order to do that. Len Bias, unknown commodity. A lot of potential, never realized quite naturally because he never got to play in the NBA. So you don't, this speculation is just that, speculation. Don't know how well he could, you know, there's a lot of good players from college that were projected to be superstars or stars in the NBA and didn't pan out. Would Len Bias be that? We don't know because he never got the opportunity.
Okay. Well, I think with the talent, he would have been a very, very good opponent for MJ. You know, I honestly think that if MJ had to face Len Bias on a frequent basis, let's say, you know, Chicago still drafted him third overall and Len Bias was in Boston, that would have been something to look at a lot and be very, very good, in my opinion, as a fan. Now, we don't know exactly all the issues that Len Bias had at the time. You know, I'm not going to delve into it. I'm just going to say that Jordan could have been in Portland. If Bias shows up and he plays and he's healthy, because they both were very similar, but Len Bias was said to have the better skill set. And it's possible. It's possible that he could have had the better skill set. As you said, it's an unknown commodity, but that's why we're playing the what-if game. I think that Len Bias could have been one of the best, if not the best player in the NBA, and giving Michael Jordan a run for his money, and quite possibly be, instead of Air Jordans, Air Biases, so to speak. But we'll never know. But I just want to throw it out there. Both players, excellent. Bias was excellent in college. Like he was playing men. He was the man playing amongst boys. Jordan came into his own, and he played very hard. And he practiced very hard to get to where he was. And that's the difference between a lot of these young players nowadays. Are you willing to sacrifice and play and practice all the time at your craft in order to be better? I don't know. We'll see. Not sure. We got about 2.5 minutes left of live air, ladies and gentlemen. So I wanted to throw that out there. I want to thank you for listening to the AFC North breakdown between myself and JT. As I said, next week, AFC East, which is stacked and packed this year, in my opinion. I don't think it's going to be the best division in football, but it's going to be one of the better divisions in football, in my opinion. We'll talk about that next week, along with a lot of different things going on in the world of sports. There's some boxing, some MMA going on today, but I didn't want to get into that because I want to keep it solely on football and get our predictions in and stuff like that. Coming up in July, will most likely be a lot of, training camp prep. So yes, we're going to still talk about the divisions. We're probably going to go through two divisions a week, in the month of July. JT will have the first week by himself. So I don't know if he wants to put that off until I am set up, but we'll see. But tomorrow, real quickly, JT, what do you got going on the
We're talking about the weekend sports. Talking about the St. Louis and their Spygate. Talking about one of my favorite players and the milestones that he has surpassed in baseball. And the NBA draft is coming up very shortly, too.
Okay. NBA draft and A-Rod and the world in sports. Okay. Coming up on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. But this show and JT's show, as well as FSP Crew show, will be streaming 24/7, 365 over on Spot on Radio, radios.com. And don't forget, click on one of those DraftKings banners where you can make a shipload of money. And I didn't do trivia today. Hopefully JT will do trivia tomorrow and he'll pass me some information. and I can get us some winners. With that being said, thank you for listening to Fantasy Sports Politics Saturday edition. We'll see you right here next week on Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little fuse, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports.